Classic Country 90.9.
Hey folks, Bill Bubba Bussey here, and this ain't your average morning show. We're talking life, laughs, and a little bit of ball with Coach in the Game. It's Classic Country Mornings on Classic Country 90.9.
Live from Court Square in Ashland, this is the 3-Point Stance with Coach Chris Herron, Coach Jerry Weems, David Nolan, and Coach Michael Short on Classic Country 90.9.
Got to. There's only slack time for one more play. The ball's at the Auburn 36. So it's going to be about a 52-yard attempt. The 52-yard attempt will be it for Van Tippen.
This would win the game. A 52-yard try. The clock will not start till the ball is snapped. There is the snap. The kick. It is in the air. It has distance.
It's good. Van Tippen has won the ball game.
Alabama has beaten Auburn. Van Tippen has kicked a 52-yard field goal. And the state of Alabama is crimson.
Davis takes it to the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
From the First Bank of Alabama studio, First Bank of Alabama, where you are first. It's the 3-Point Stance on Classic Country 90.9. And on this Hill Auto Sales kickoff hour, Classic Country 90.9, part of the Radio Alabama Foundation family of networks. If you haven't yet, you want to go into the app store on your mobile device, download the Radio Alabama app, choose Classic Country 90.9 as your favorite, because, yep, we're selfish. Want you to go wherever we go. Currently, it is 8:06 a.m., and it is 55.9 degrees. That's the first non-hooty-hoo we've had. Morning, guys.
Good morning, Bone.
How's everybody doing? Morning.
Doing good.
Man, I'm
I've already been with you. Good morning.
Yeah.
Heard y'all been hooty-hooing it this morning.
Yeah, a lot of hooty-hoos, Dave. Yeah. We
Yeah. I hate I missed it.
Yeah.
I had to do it like three times once. I said, because I want to get it like Dave.
That's good, coach.
A lot of hootie hoos this morning. It was like a point two and a point one.
We had everything but 7 and 3.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everything else in between we had. Yeah. I thought, what's going on here?
Temperature was really moving up
and down. Sure was.
That's good. Time of year.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
A little cooler out there this morning.
It did at 4 o'clock.
But it's good to be here. Good to see y'all. Yeah.
Good to be alive.
Good to be here. We've
made. How's it going, Bone?
So far, so good. You know,
Coach Short told me you're doing a fantastic job. Yeah, by the way,
no real.
Is there a more talented person?
There can't be, Coach. I mean,
he's a well-rounded guy.
He is, Coach. Yeah. I mean, if you want a great bench player, he's the guy you want.
Yeah.
He's the sixth man. Yeah, sixth man.
Yeah. The sixth man of the year.
That's right.
He has a lot of jobs.
I know he does.
Yeah, and told him I enjoy on Fridays myself because I said, here's how y'all see it. Y'all never change. On the, what do you call it, bone on the road or on the road with bone. I listen to it just to get a cackle because you've got Coach Heron driving and then Rusty on the right and you got him in the middle back and Coach Wayne's to the right back and then who's the other guy?
Jeremy Carrington.
He's to the left back.
Yeah, yeah.
And Coach, I mean, y'all just talking away, and then all of a sudden, Coach Williams just comes out of there with something somewhere.
He's always going to have something, Coach Williams.
Oh, yeah. He's always got something in his pocket, always.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just to listen to where you're eating at and where you're on the road. So I've kind of I tune in every Friday to see where are y'all at. Y'all even make a trip going from here down here to eat.
We've had more response to that than I would have ever thought.
Everybody wants to know about Bone.
Yeah, and our road trip. So, I mean,
I enjoy watching where you go.
I just wish we had better service along the way where we could go longer.
Well, yeah, you are off and on. And Bone's live, Bone's not live.
He's in, he's out.
He was live, now he's back
story.
Live.
That's right.
You're live and you're not live. Bone in, bone out.
That's right.
That's it, man.
Well, he was there.
But, you know, none of that was, I mean, I'm just using my, really, I'm just using my feed there because and I'm the one that's available to do it because I'm not driving. You
remember
what I
mean? I told you to do?
Yeah.
Tag
some folks.
Tag some folks.
Tag it
and more people will see it.
Yeah.
Tag the station.
I tell you what I'm going to do this time.
Tag Clay Central Sports
This
Network.
Week I'll tag where we're going to eat.
Yes.
Well, no, I do. I do
where
tag
Where are you going to eat
there?
At? Because I'm.
Yeah, we're going to, we're going to Pell City Steakhouse.
You ever been there, Coach?
Pell City Steakhouse.
Pell City Steak.
I haven't. Where's it at?
Downtown.
Pell City.
Okay, downtown. Duh. Hootie who?
Well, you asked where it was.
Downtown. Pell City. There's a lot of steakhouses in Pell City.
Yeah, this is an old one.
Okay.
This has been there a long time.
Which usually would be
good. Right.
Long time establishment.
Okay.
Yep. Been there.
Y'all should have fun. That's going to be our game of the week. I'll see y'all Friday.
Oh, you're good. Coming.
Yeah, we picked it because, I mean, y'all are already in the playoffs. That's where I say it. But it is a monster game for them because they need this one for if it comes to a tiebreaker, and they need those points. So for them, it's almost a got-to-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we picked that game. And it's just right there on the outskirts of how far away I can get and get back to the show in time to at least be on there.
Yeah.
So we're going to stay. We'll stay for the whole game. We'll interview the winning coach and players.
You can meet him at Pell City Steakhouse.
I won't be there that early.
Oh, you won't be there that
early. Okay. How early? Well, when are y'all eating there?
We'll probably get there between 3:30 and 4.
No, I want my
shooter. Too early? 4 at the
not
latest.
Not for me, but my shooter that I have to go pick up. He don't get off work till about 4:45 at 5.
We normally get to where we're going about 3:45, 4 o'clock.
Okay, I have to. I usually get to the stadium around 6, to just to walk out on practice field or the game field, meet each coach, see who the officials are, because sometimes I am right up on the sideline. I just need to let them know. Just tell me to get back if you see me. So
right,
yeah. But yeah, y'all are going to be our game of the week. I might even make it up there to see y'all.
We'll be glad to see
game. You. Yeah.
It's going to be a good game. Pell City's a pretty good team.
They are, and it's. I told him earlier today, it's a game that Central Clay needs. a tough football game against a team that's a lot larger, playoff type game, probably a second or third round type. Yep. You know, you're gonna have bigger guys that you're gonna be facing, faster guys, and then you get a week off. So to have a game like that, a tough physical game like that, and then to have a week off, I think it sets up nicely for the
fits in perfect.
It does.
Yeah.
Yep. Should be a good one.
Coach, you ready for it? Coach Aaron told you about the question of the week?
If I hadn't looked back last night and listened to that in Dave's house and you know, yeah.
You got a heads up.
Well, yeah, and I like him. I mean, he had to just think of it real quick. Right. But, yeah, I listened.
So, for those listening, the question of the week, Coach Aaron posed the question yesterday, was if you had an autobiography, what would the book title be? So, yeah. Coach Short, what?
Hmm. Well, after
what you got?
Well, I just looked and thought of it because it's a thinking question. I mean, you have to really think.
It's a very good question.
To me, it may be the best one I've ever had.
It's up there.
Yeah, it's up there at the top. But for me, it was the book would just say, look up, stand up, and listen.
Look up, stand up, listen.
And listen.
Okay.
Because there's been so many times as a football coach, is, you know, you get knocked down on the ground, and you tell you guys, you know, you got to look up. Because first of all, you got to look up just to stand up. Because a lot of times you've been hit and about knocked out in life, and then stand up. But most time when I stand up, I would just take off grinding again. Immediately just go. Because you got to go. You got to go. And we teach our kids, you got to go. You can't stop. You got to go.
You got to get out there. You got to get out there. You got
to. Yeah. But I have found out through recent, you know, tragedies or whatever, that I never stopped to listen. And the good Lord was trying to tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about all the days that you just get up, and because people want you to be tough and you got to grind and you got to keep going, that you just take off. Once you get up, you just keep going. And I wish, and I've learned that he wants us sometimes just to stop and listen.
Well, you're never too old to learn, Coach.
You're exactly right.
You know,
you're never too old until it's over.
That's right.
So just like I said, look up, stand up, and just listen.
It's kind of like that old saying: stop and smell the flowers.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly right. And sometimes we don't know just how good we have it because we're always, you know, we're always looking for something more when it's right there in front of us.
I like it.
I like it.
So that's where we're at.
Let's take our first break.
We've
got to get both of them in before Paris here in this hour. So let's go and take our first break. You know, we'll come back and I'm going by the sheet here now.
Yeah, do that.
I'm going by the sheet. It says Short on UA. So we'll come back and talk a little UA with Short. We'll be right back on 3 points.
Stay with us.
.net. Atkinson Homes is a proud supporter of Clay Central Athletics.
Clay County's favorite radio station, Classic Country 90.9.
You're listening to 3 Point Stance on Classic Country 90.9.
Featured artist of the day will be the Edgar Winter Group. We're going to get the set started. A little Halloween special right here a little early. It's Frankenstein. Big hit record for them. Edgar Winter was a multi-talented musician. Played all kinds of instruments. And his brother is as well, Johnny Winter. But it's going to be Edgar Winter today, the featured artist of the day on 3 Point Stance.
I can play it.
Yes, it can.
This is the opening hour of the 3 Point Stance made possible by Hill Auto Sales. Hill Auto Sales located on the Hill in downtown Lineville, 89010 Highway 9, phone number 256-396-1100. Kevin Hill, Jeff Colburn, and Tim Carroll, the guys to see down at Hill Auto Sales, bringing you the kickoff hour of the 3 Point Stance. Currently, it is 8:19 on this Tuesday, October 21st. And let's see, back
There we go.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, glad to have you.
Yeah. All right.
Coach Short, give us your take on the Alabama Crimson Tide from last Saturday.
The Alabama Crimson Tide. I watched a lot of football this past weekend.
There were some good games.
There were. I mean, we've had some – if anything, NIL and transfer portal has made college football more games to watch that are actually enjoyable on the weekends. I mean, you think about – I mean, Vandy in the top 10. you think about – but they have better players now.
They do.
You know, and they're able to
– Well, they have one.
They have one, but if you watch their offensive line, if you go on social media and watch that left guard and left tackle, what they did to LSU, I mean, literally just knock people off their feet. So, you know, there's a lot more parity, and you can fix stuff quickly. I mean, just go out there and buy them, get what you need. So there's
they gave Bama a good game.
Yeah, they did. I mean, yeah, they did, and it got away from them late. I think because of depth. But who has depth anymore? I mean, 5-star depth. Everybody's got the number of players. That hadn't changed. It's just who can keep those older players longer. And that's the thing that Vandy. I think the next year to see if they're going to be good is what they can do next year because they have an old team as far as oldness. You know, two of the younger teams in the SEC playing the most freshmen in order is Alabama, Georgia, as far as number of true freshmen actually playing. It's hard to believe. You know, Georgia has two offensive linemen that are freshmen having to play. That's the only way Alabama beat them. It was because of those two having to come in and play right there, and they were able to exploit that.
The stats bear that out. That they play a lot of freshmen, but you know, next year, the season after that, are those freshmen still going to be there? That's the thing.
Yeah, that's what you don't know.
Yeah, they're getting the experience they need, but the way the game is now doesn't mean they're going to stay there their whole career.
No, and what it really tells us is how fast these guys are doing a good job of coaching. Are they actually? You'll find out if somebody can really develop somebody when you only have them for a year. So I've got to develop them as much as I can in a short amount of time. And can I do that? I think we're finding out maybe some coaches aren't as good on-field coaches as we thought they might be because of that one situation. Brian Kelly at LSU, for example, he left Notre Dame because he said, I could come to the SEC to win a championship. I could have more players, you know, not a strict educational process they have to. Well, that's been proven wrong, you know, by the coach at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He's proved that. So maybe some of these guys aren't. I'm not going to, as a former coach, I'm not going to say bad coach, good coach, or whatever. I'm just saying that you better in today's game with the money you're having to pay players to come to my place, you better be a good evaluator. That's why I think the what do they call him, the general manager, some of them are calling now, that's the guy that's out in the portal. He's out looking at those guys to find out who's coming in. Mm-hmm. That guy may be the most valuable guy on your staff now that can find that guy that you need to come in. And are we going to evaluate that guy?
Is Alabama's running game concerning to you? No. It is for Coach Aaron.
It is for a lot of guys. But what I've had to make myself understand is I went back and looked at Washington and looked at their average rushing yards per year, and per game their average was 137. That's not a lot of rushing yards. But when you think about how efficient their passing games become and the way they get the ball to running backs, it's just an extension of their running game is the way they get the ball to their running backs. When you watch Alabama on offense, it's quite a different. It was, you know, with Lane Kiffin, it was the RPO because that's what was becoming important. But with those guys that run the RPO, what's RPO stand for?
Run
pass option. That means then that quarterback better be a runner, but he also better be a passer too. That's harder to find. To me, what you're seeing with Alabama is more of a pro style offense. So a quarterback, not saying he can't run, because Simpson can run. I mean, he was a 5-star guy and was a track star himself. But he runs in order to extend a play, in order to find himself time to throw a ball downfield.
Yeah.
And I think that he's probably Ryan Day at Ohio State and then Grubbs at Alabama is probably the best. I would say probably y'all got me all okay.
We got a special guest.
We got a special guest just walked in.
No, just visiting.
Mr. Perryman.
Yeah, my parents always train me to feed the animals.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
There we go.
All right.
You've got some biscuits and cinnamon rolls.
Well, thank you so
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate
you.
We need some sugar.
Thank you. Appreciate
thank you,
it.
Sir.
All right.
And now we'll take a break.
Good.
Look at Coach Wing smiling now. Look at that. Pass him around.
Look, Short.
What did we say?
You finally fell in there, Short.
I did. I finally got something to eat. Finally fell in there.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, look, Ty Simpson, for everybody who says, well, you know, he's got another year. And that boy ain't going to be here another year, is he, Coach Wings? He'll be in a top 10 draft if he continues playing.
He probably won't be back next year.
No, but what he's getting is they've got a five-star true freshman. They got a five-star backup, and those guys are going to get reps. How much starting did he have before he started this year? One ball game. He started one game. So I believe that Alabama's coaching staff, as far as for quarterbacks, may be the best coach quarterback room in the country. Mm-hmm. And I'm not concerned about the running game you look in pro football, their average rushing is 142 to 150 yards per game because they do it, you know, because they throw so much short game and stuff. And, you know, they have games where they'll have more than that, but most of the time that's your average. So I think that's their average. We look at it as, and I have too, I say, man, we can't run the football. But when does Alabama able to run the football this year? In the fourth quarter. And when does it matter most, if you really look at it, in the fourth quarter when you're trying to put the game away?
Absolutely.
So that's my take. I'm good where we're at. I wish they could run it a little bit better, but I also understand their offense and what they're trying to do, and they're so efficient with throwing the football right now. And, yeah, the quarterback's getting the ball where he's at, but they've got five receivers that can catch a football anywhere you throw it. And now that Ryan Williams is finally catching balls again and he's back in action and he's back, it's made all the other ones. Because at the beginning of the year, they had two receivers that never played. They had a true freshman in 17, the Brooks kid, mm-hmm. and he had the Horton kid from Miami. Now that the Horton kid, who's 6'4", is catching balls too, it makes them a whole lot better football team.
They look like
a
completely different team from that Florida State game, that's for sure.
Well, look, you know who looks worse? Look where Florida State's ended up.
Oh.
They have not won a conference game, not won. In the ACC, how do you not win a conference game?
Ask Auburn.
All right.
Oh, my God. That's not where I was headed there, Dave.
Hey, well, you just said it.
We're going to go ahead and get our second break in because we're going to go ahead and get our second break in. And when we come back, the Heroes Hotline is going to be fired up. And,
yeah.
We're going to come back. And you're listening to 3-Point Stance right here on Classic Country 90.9.
State Farm Insurance Agent Mike Coleman and the Law Office of Tyler T. Sims.
Classic Country 90.9.
What's your favorite radio station? We asked your friends, and they were unanimous.
Classic Country 90.9.
Classic Country 90.9.
Classic Country 90.9.
Make Classic Country 90.9 your favorite, too.
Considering metal roofing for your next project? A&E Metal Roofing Supply can help. The official metal roofing supplier of Classic Country Mornings. Online at aemetalroofing.com.
Featured artist of the day on 3-Point Stance is going to be the Edgar Winter Group. Right now, Free Ride is off and running right here on 3-Point Stance. More classic rock and roll with Edgar Winter coming up throughout the morning here on the Stance. Glad you're with us.
From the First Bank of Alabama studios, it's the Hill Auto Sales Hour of the 3-Point Stance right here on Classic Country 90.9. Currently, 55 degrees.
80?
I'm looking at the wrong number. 55 degrees at 8:30 a.m. on this Tuesday, October 21st. Dave, Heroes Hotline is fired up.
It sure is, Bone. We've got Mike Paris from Jacksonville State University with us right now as he comes with us every week. Glad to have him. Mike, how you doing?
I am good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Doing great. What's for breakfast in Jacksonville this morning?
I hadn't had it a year.
Oh, goodness.
He hadn't been up probably 20 minutes.
Wish he was here with us.
Beg your pardon. I've been up since about 4 o'clock. Thank you, sir.
That's what time I got up.
Our very own Mr. Perryman was kind enough to bring us some biscuits just a while ago from Silicaga way.
He didn't call me and ask me if I wanted
it. I'm telling you, I mean, we got plenty right here if you can hustle over here.
He said his mama said he needed to always feed the animals.
You mean there's more over there?
Coach, there's more over here in this bag. I promise you.
Yeah, there's more, Coach. 100%.
I got these cinnamon rolls or whatever you want to call them. Cinnamon minis?
Cinnamon minis, yeah.
I had not seen those before.
Mike, do you have a go-to fast food breakfast restaurant you like?
Probably Chick-fil-A would be what it is.
That's a good one.
I do like the biscuits at Jack's and at Bojangles.
Mm-hmm.
But Chick-fil-A used to have a cinnamon roll that was outstanding. I don't know why they took it off the menu. So, but that was one reason I'd go to Chick-fil-A because of that. Whataburger has a pretty good cinnamon roll, too. You know, I got to have something sweet along with that. Steak biscuit or bacon, egg, and cheese or whatever. So,
Mike, what's on tap for the Jacksonville State football team this week?
Thankfully, an open day here.
Well, good. That freed you up.
2 days off. Played last Wednesday, and then we don't play again until a week from tomorrow. We'll play the 29th up at Middle Tennessee State when we play again. So, get to enjoy between that and playing last Wednesday off this week and then playing next Wednesday, three straight Saturdays. So I'll get to watch some college football, which is unusual.
The 29th is going to be a night where there'll be a ton of high school football, too, because a lot of everybody's moving to get away from Halloween to Thursday night. I mean, but here in Alabama, they are.
Yeah, Thursday night will be the 30th. We play Wednesday night the 29th.
Okay, that's right.
Then the 30th.
Wednesday, I got you.
Hey, Mike, we played the Blue Hens last week, and we play the Blue Raiders next.
Right.
Do you know there's four Division I schools that have blue as part of their nickname? And we're playing two of them here back-to-back. You know who the other two are?
Duke Blue Devils.
Duke Blue Devils.
Oh, let me see. There's a fourth one? Boise State plays on blue turf. If that doesn't count, probably.
What about the Creighton Blue Jays?
Oh, they don't play football, though.
But it is a Division I school.
Right, but they don't play football. So.
All right, so there's three that play football, but there's four in all.
The Blues.
Come on now, you didn't tell me that, so you should have said anyway. I didn't realize that, just four. I thought it would have been more than that.
Well, I never even thought about it either way.
You never know what you may learn on this show there, Mike.
We have, let's see, high school over here. You got the Blue Devils and the Red Devils, and you got two or three schools in the same region that have Blue Devils as a mascot. So that's always fun trying to keep up. Somebody starts talking about Blue Devils this and Blue Devils that.
Yeah.
Y'all got a bunch of devils over there, don't you?
Yes.
What about the
Bulldogs, Tigers, too?
What about the Toronto Blue Jays? How you feel about the World Series? It's all set now.
I could care less.
Well, I'm about the same way, but I'll probably watch it off and on. I was actually.
If the Dodgers don't win it, that'll be the biggest surprise, I guess.
Well, yeah, you would think. But, you know, I was really pulling for Seattle. You know, they're still the only team in the major leagues now that's never been in a World Series. And, you know, the Blue Jays and the Mariners both were expansion teams the same year.
Right.
And Toronto's been in the – I know this is their second World Series, maybe their third. They played the Braves one time, didn't they?
Yeah, beat them.
Yeah.
Let's see, 93, they won it, so.
But Seattle –
I can't remember. Won one and lost one. I can't remember. Beat the Braves in 92, didn't they?
Or three. May have been – I think it was 93.
Okay.
But, yeah, they both came into existence the same time. And I think, you know, Toronto's has had a lot better success than Seattle has. But I think Seattle's made the ALCS two or three times and always lost. But
yeah, they made it with Griffey.
Yeah.
Mike, let's look at change directions here real quick. What's the situation quarterback wise at JSU? Or is that even?
I think we found our guy. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. There's no injuries or anything that you can even talk.
Well,
about?
He didn't. You know, Caden Creel took over in the. Southern Miss game, they got his first start. Delaware, we win the game, and he went out in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I have been out of town the last few days, but I know before I left town, and after the game Wednesday night, and then before I left town, the feeling was that he should be ready by the Middle Tennessee game.
Okay. Because I just knew people that was me, and I said, he didn't look over there on the sidelines. He didn't look like something was terribly wrong with him during the ball game. So
it looked worse on TV when he did it than it actually was.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it on TV, you think, ooh, I mean, what? So.
And yeah, well, looking at it live and in person, it looked bad. I can tell you that. And taking him back to the. Training room immediately to have it checked out. So, but thankfully it wasn't as bad. So he should be ready to go in the Middle Tennessee game 1 week from tomorrow. By the way, Toronto beat the Braves in 92 and then they beat the Phillies in 93. Joe Torter hit that home run. Remember that?
Okay. Yeah.
Was a difference. So they're 2-0. They get 3-0. That's going to be the biggest shock. They can beat the Dodgers. So,
Mike, what is your? I mean, I know you. Okay, we're getting. You know, we're not ending football season, but now that basketball, you know, people started practicing and that kind of stuff. When do you start crossing over as far as going from football to basketball? Okay, laugh.
Our first game was 2 weeks from yesterday, Monday night, November 3rd. Actually, the women will play a kids' day game, I think, that day, and then the men play that night. So we start November 3rd, which is probably as early as I remember starting. You know, used to it was mid-November, and it keeps getting pushed closer to the beginning of November, and the season goes as long or longer. So, you know, used to you can start practice. October 15th was the date, and now, you know, once classes start fall semester, they can do some workouts. They can have four guys at a time, maybe, or two guys at a time, whatever, then some individual stuff. And they actually can start the full team workouts earlier in October than what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Have we played an exhibition game yet?
What he's elected to do this year is play a couple of the scrimmages. It's one of these deals. Usually it's on a weekend, and you can stop and, you know, coach and whatever during that. And there's no It's not open to the public. You can have closed scrimmages. They had one this past weekend. I think they'll have one more. If you do two, you can do like one of those and play an exhibition game, or you can play two exhibition games, or you can do the closed scrimmages and not play exhibition games. So that's what this will be the first time that we haven't had exhibition games in a few years. So that's what the men have done. I'm not sure about our ladies, quite honestly. I don't know if he's doing only exhibitions or not. As I said, the seasons, both here they come, ready or not. So,
I would think
on Monday the 3rd, the women will play LaGrange College on Monday the 3rd at 11:30 a.m. And I don't think that they have an exhibition game scheduled either. I think that they're like the men. They're just doing the closed scrimmages.
Yeah. You know, from a coaching standpoint, I think I would like that closed scrimmage situation better than I would playing an exhibition game, because you can actually do more coaching during the scrimmage situation.
You know, they can stop and talk to, you know, coach them up, so to speak, some things there. And then you can work like, you know, I think they do some where that you play just like the last 2 minutes of a game, do some stuff like that. You can break it up. And if you do the closed scrimmages, I'm not sure if there's more than one team there. Sometimes there may be three teams or four teams. And, you know, you can do some different things with that you can't do and just play in an exhibition game. So the ladies will play at 11:30. The men will play that night at 6 o'clock, play Oakwood. And then the following week on Monday the 10th, the men will have a Kent State game, a non-Division I opponent against Reinhardt. The women will play that night. North Alabama is who they play that night, I think.
Do you ever?
From my standpoint, just selfishly speaking, the good news is for us, we play the first four at home. And then we go to Arkansas State, play in a tournament. I guess you'd call it a tournament. We have two games there in Jonesboro, Arkansas, on the Monday and Wednesday prior to Thanksgiving. And then come back home and play two more before we have a road game on Saturday, December the 13th at Georgia State. Last year we were on the road all the time. Thankfully, this year we're playing some at home.
Do you have anywhere?
I'm sorry.
No, I said, do you have anywhere basketball and football collide with each other on the same night? Because y'all do have some Wednesdays and Thursday football games. I guess what I'm saying is, when they look at their scheduling, do they ever?
Well, you know, October is the only time that we have the midweek games. Nobody in the league in football plays on Saturdays in the month of October. Everything in Conference USA is either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday the month of October. And then we get back to Saturdays in November.
So it doesn't ever get to the point where you have to make a decision, do I go to basketball or do I go to football?
And there's really no decision, since football is, quote, the in-season sport at that time. Football will win. And like when we get, you know, baseball overlaps basketball, but since basketball is nearing the end of the season, then, you know, if I have to make a choice, I'll do basketball over baseball.
Okay.
What it is during that time.
I got you.
So, the only, depending on the bowl, if we get to a bowl game, the only one that might conflict would be we play at East Tennessee on Saturday, December the 20th in basketball. You know, I think our bowl game last year was, the 18th or 19th. You know, mm-hmm. It depends on your bowl game, where you're going, and all that stuff. So, and we play our first Conference USA basketball game on Monday night, December 29th, as a matter of fact. So,
what would happen if you had a football and a basketball game on the same day? How would that work out with the network?
Well, you know, it depends on times and everything. And I'd do the football game and then have somebody else do the basketball game. Now, if they're playing at the same time, and that's happened, that happened last year during Thanksgiving, as a matter of fact. You know, there's a lot of Thanksgiving basketball tournaments that go Friday, Saturday after Thanksgiving, or well, they're all week long, basically. And we had a conflict last year. So we did a basketball, just an audio stream only through YouTube audio. I think is how we did it last year. Because basketball was playing at the same time as football was. I think we were at home with New Mexico State in football that day. I believe that's who it was, or FIU, one of the two.
Mike, what's changing another gear here?
Okay.
I know this is because you're tied into it, and I keep up with it too because of my past. West Georgia high school football right now, where you're at there? Who's doing well, not well? Because we're getting close to playoff time. We got anybody that's already set?
We have one school plays 9-man football, a private school, and then, Lamborn is part of our quote coverage here, if you will. So count those two. We have 11 schools that I keep up with and we keep up with here. And the schools right now here in the West Georgia area, all 9 of them are probably going to be in the playoffs. I don't think Rambler's going to make it over there in the private school that's here in Carroll County. I'm not sure that they're going to be in the playoffs either. But as of right now, all 9 of ours could be in the playoffs. And this is in Georgia, you have 12 weeks to play 10. So you actually have two open dates. And depends on if you play a scrimmage or an exhibition game, that first week in week zero and whatnot. So anyway, and actually after what happened last year with the hurricane, you remember came right up through Georgia. The heart of the state of Georgia, really came in from the coast, came right up through Valdosta that way. So many games had to be postponed that Friday night and for a couple of weeks actually in South Georgia. So this year, after the schedules basically were completed, the state comes in, the GHSA, and added, it's a week off for everybody, but the end of the regular season is Friday night, Halloween night, October 31st. That's the last night of the regular season. And there are no, unless you have a makeup game to play, there are no games scheduled for that next week. The playoffs won't start until the second Friday night in November. It's an open date for everybody. But they built that in case there were games. And there were some that were canceled earlier this year down in South Georgia because of weather issues. And there will be some games, I guess, played on that Friday night, but not very many. We won't have anything in this area on Friday nights. And so the playoffs will start on whatever that Friday night is. Will it be the 14th, maybe? Is that what it is? I can't remember.
I think that's right.
That's when the playoffs will start. Yeah.
I knew a lot of coaches like that.
Right now, Carrollton, a week from Friday on Halloween night, Carrollton, Douglas County going to play. That was basically a region championship game. Central and Carrollton's going down to Griffin, and that's de facto region championship game for them on this Friday night. And like in Alabama, some of the local schools, not knowing that they were going to have an open date scheduled where they would have an open date on Halloween night.
Oh, wow.
Thinking the playoffs would start the next week. Well, now they're going to have 2 weeks off before they play. So, because of that week the high school built in. So, yeah. But we've got Harrelson County and Bremen, which are, next door neighbors and big rivals. They'll play Friday night, Harrelson County. Scott Peavy used to be the head coach at Wilburn and up at Madison County and played at Jacksonville Stadium. He was at Harrelson County two different stints as a head coach. While he was here, they hosted their first ever playoff game. And if they win Friday, they got an outstanding shot at hosting a playoff game then when they get to the first round of the playoffs. So just a lot of different we got eight games involving our local schools coming up Friday night. All of them have some kind of an impact, either region championships or playoffs, home games in the playoffs or whatnot this week.
What about Bowden? Do they have a chance to get number 4?
Yeah, they do. They've lost twice.
That's normal for them, though, to have a loss or two.
Yeah. Well, they lost to a private school out of Atlanta that's in the Atlanta area. And they could probably win several different classifications. I did not see that game, but from what I've been told with their talent, they could probably win a couple of three different classifications in the state of Georgia, at least be in the semifinals. And Bowden lost to them. I guess it was week two of the season.
Yes, that's what I heard.
They have one other setback as well. So they're 6-2. If they win Friday night, it'll clinch at least a tie for the region title for them. They got Pro Throw Heard County, who's ranked number 3 in the state, Class A Division II. Class A Division One, and Bowden's Class A Division Two. Heard County beat them about 3 weeks ago. And, Pro Throw, who's the Georgia commit, they're tied in. He was out. He missed most of the second half of that game, so that took away a big weapon for him there. But they got a shot to win it all again this year. I don't know if you guys do it, but next year, state of Georgia is going to 7 classifications. They won't split Class A as they do now. It'll be A through 7A is what it'll be. So the schools that are Class A Division One actually be 2A or AA, as they refer to it here.
Yes.
Next year. And also what they're doing is only the region champions will be guaranteed a spot in postseason. They're going to power rankings. They're going to use system, I guess, sort of like college football, using the playoff committee and everything. They're doing something like that, and they use it now in 3 of the different classifications, but it'll be statewide in all 7 classifications next year. So you could have, right now, by the way it's set up in the classifications that don't use the power rankings, the top 4 teams in each region go to postseason play in the playoffs. But this will change it. You could have, 5 or 6 schools out of 1 region in the playoffs, depending on what their power rankings are. So
that's been talked about in this state.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing.
A little gnashing the teeth going on right now about that. But,
yes.
It's based on your schedule, strength of your schedule, and then your opponents, what they do. And right now, part of that formula also includes your opponents and what they do. But I think the percentage that plays a part in it right now is going to drop down when they go to this next year statewide. They'll adjust it in some form or fashion. So it'll be a little different.
Mike, we wanted to hit you with a question of the week. I don't know if Coach Herron gave you a shout-out about it, but the question of the week he posed to us yesterday, started the week off, is if you had your autobiography, how would you title it?
Who is that guy?
No. That's the best one yet, I think.
Who is that guy?
That's very good.
That's even thinking. Better yet is, why do I have a book?
Why do I have a book?
Now, did you just come up with that off the cuff? Did he give you the question ahead of time, Coach Herron?
Actually, he did give me. He texted me last night, gave me the question, but I did not think about that until right now. And this is actually, I guess, stealing it from some other people who have used this have been announcers, but from the best seat in the house, or the best seat in the house is probably what it would be.
So, oh, that's a good title, too. That's a great title. Yeah, I love that.
And you've had a good seat, and you've done a good job sitting in that seat.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I've enjoyed sitting in that seat, I can tell you that. Now, there are some times I wish that seat was a little different location than what it
is. You've been in some rough chairs, hadn't you?
Oh, man, tight quarters and different things.
Dust and not dust.
But overall, hadn't it gotten better as you've went along? I mean, all of that type of
thing. Well, yes and no. One thing now that they're doing because of sweeps and everything, ask Andy Burcham if he likes this spot at Auburn anymore. He's basically in the end corner.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's terrible.
So, and the first time I guess I encountered that was Jack Crow's first game when he took over as our head coach in 2000 down in South Florida. That was where we played first. And I guess it's still the same way down there. We were in the corner of the end zone. That's the first time I'd ever been like that. And that has become more commonplace. I've had to sit outside even in college. I've sat on top of press box doing college games before. I've sat in the stands doing high school games, and doing this. In fact, I had a state playoff game, sit right in the middle of the crowd, did one. It's still interesting sometimes, some places you go. I'll just put it like that. And, some of the older stadiums, you know, even in Conference USA, it can be tight quarters. I like to be able to spread out a little bit. So
you'll get to be in the corner at Auburn again next year.
Well, if we play, you know, I don't think we're playing because of the SEC going to that ninth game.
Yeah, they cancel that game.
Yeah, so it's going to get us, so we won't I won't get to do that. I will say that when we played down there in 15, at that time where we broadcast from, I got some looks because we got a little excited in there and had the lead. Some of those Auburn fans around us didn't like that a whole lot. I wasn't like Larry Munson where they threw drinks on me or anything, though. And also doing at Alabama doing a softball game, NCAA Regional one year, we hit a home run to tie up the game in the sixth inning, and oh, I didn't know if I was going to make it out of there alive. I got some dirty looks, people turning around. Didn't like it because I got excited about the home run we hit, tied the game up at that time. So.
Well, Mike, thank you for joining us, as you always so faithfully do here on Heroes Hotline. Tell us where we can get a hold of you.
The Jacksonville State games, you can go through our website and listen that way. And again, we're off until next Wednesday. We'll be on the air. I think 5:30 is their time next Wednesday. Kickoff time 6:30. Play at Middle Tennessee, and then we come back home. We don't get back home till like the 15th. I think is when it is our next home date.
Well, all right. Well, thank you for joining us again. Always like you always do,
thanks, guys.
Mike on Heroes Hotline.
Appreciate it,
Mike Parrish. Thanks, everybody. Fellas.
All right. See y'all.
See ya.
Okay.
Street stock starting off the day modestly lower. This is SRND.
Classic Country 90.9.
You're in just the right place. This is the second hour of 3-Point Stance. Now back to the show.
Edgar Winter, he's the featured artist today on 3-Point Stance with Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo. This is a Rick Derringer song, but Edgar Winter was a big player on this record for him. It's Edgar Winter today on 3-Point Stance.
This is the Hill Auto Sale.
Nope, boom.
Hour number two, Bone.
Hour number two. This is the first Capital Insurance
hour
of the 3-Point Stance from the First Bank of Alabama Studios, where you are first in Classic Country 90.9. It's just part of the Radio Alabama Foundation family of networks. And if you haven't yet, go into the App Store on your mobile device, download the Radio Alabama app, and choose Classic Country 90.9 as your favorite. Because, yep, we're selfish. Want you to take us with you wherever you go. Currently, it is 61.8 degrees, 9:03 a.m. on this Tuesday, October
21st. That's the first time we've had a double play.
That's a double play on that one, Coach. Yeah, we turned it on that one.
All right.
We didn't get a raise for that, did we?
No.
I doubt it.
We did get biscuits, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And a cinnamon. Coach, you need to go ahead and finish that one off.
I'm through.
Here,
Bone. He said he's through.
Bone's eyeball.
Bone will take it.
He'll take it.
Down.
Oh, it's yeah. Good. No problem.
Guys, we're let's talk a little college football right now. I was curious, is college football ahead of the curve at this point of the season as far as coach firings are going? You've got UCLA's had a firing. Arkansas's had a firing. Penn State, now the Florida Gators. Big-time programs, big-name schools. Is it happening at a faster rate than it has in the past? What do you think?
I think people are pulling the trigger faster. I guess, is that kind of the way?
Yeah.
I think they are because they feel like in the past you wouldn't because you'd say, all right, what's it going to
What's the repercussions of all?
What's going to happen? I mean, are we going to be
at doing it this time of year?
Yeah. And I think now, well, the first thing is Jimmy Sexton is probably loving this because think of the guys that are getting raises because people are getting fired. Kirk said Eddie went from $5.5 million to $11.9 million, and he hadn't even done anything. I mean, yeah, he's done well at his school, but his school's thinking, man, Penn State's going to come calling. We got to give him a raise now. So each firing that happens, like at Florida, he either's going to be interested in Lane Kiffin, is going to be interested in it, or his agent, Jimmy Sexton, is going to get him a raise just to make sure, hey, we're going to give you more just to make sure you stay here at Ole Miss. So there's coaches, current coaches right now that are getting raises because of everything that's happening. So they're probably all, hey, you know, let it happen.
Well, you know, when you really look at this thing, look at NFL or look at Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. Every year there's five or six coaches or managers that get fired, and they just seem to recycle. You know, they end up with another
somewhere
team.
Somewhere else, yes.
Well, that's going to happen in college football as well. You know, we're just going to recycle, and James Franklin's going to end up somewhere else, and all the other coaches that get fired. And – you know, when it's really, I'm really curious about the Penn State situation. I mean, look how many games James Franklin won as coach at Penn State. The problem was he lost games that the fan base wanted to win.
He did.
The big games,
yes,
they're termed. Well, who are they going to bring in that's going to do any better? Who are they going to bring in that's going to win any more games than James Franklin did? Now, granted, they might win a big game. They might beat Ohio State one year. But are they going to win more games than Franklin did overall at Penn State? I'm just curious as, you know, when you make a coaching change, you want to improve in all areas. And I don't see how they can do that.
I think when he was hired, they were at the bottom, and they started seeing not great changes, but they saw immediate change to the positive. It wasn't that first year, but it was the second year. And in year two, he started – and that's before you could go get players and fill your roster that quick. I go back to what you said. Was he winning what – we perceive as the top 10 games, the top five games. He won a bunch of beating people ranked from 11 to 25, but he couldn't win that game in those top 10 games, I guess you'd say.
But maybe that would have come later.
Well, I guess after 12 years, they thought it wasn't going to come because he'd had quite a few games where he just wasn't winning those games.
Same. I don't see how they're going to improve themselves.
And is he a bad coach? No, he was a good. He was look it, before the season started. He was a good coach because he had already done. I mean, how many games did he win last year? He made it to the semifinals.
He was in the playoffs. Yeah,
he was in the playoffs and made it to the semifinals when he got beat
late on a late interception.
Late interception, and so that's why they already because of what they did last year. They already had him preseason ranked up there at the top. And then it didn't go that way.
And I think the fans kind of pressured the administration to make that decision.
Because the fans said, I mean, okay, if y'all don't make a change, we're just not going to come. Well, if they're not filling up the stands, then it's going to happen. I think I would have tempted them. But, okay, when do you make this? I guess the question is, when do you make changes? During the year, at the end of the year? I mean, everybody thinks, well, if we do it at the end of the year, you know, are we going to miss out on those recruits? I actually, when a lot of times people will say, all right, if we fire him in the middle of the year, we're going to lose a lot of those commitments. Well, if you already find the guy that you're going to get, are you going to get a top 10 coach in the middle of the season and he's got a season going and he's a top 10 coach?
And he's going to go on into the playoffs in late December.
And do well.
Past the signing date.
Plus, if I'm a – let's just take Lane Kiffin, for example, and people say, well, I'd like to have him. Let's say Penn State says, I'd like to have him, or Florida says, I'd like to have him. I don't think you see Lane Kiffin at Penn State because he's not going to go where it's cold. He don't want to be there. That is a true living thing. He's not going to do that. I could see him at a Florida because he's in Florida. He likes that kind of weather. California, Florida. He would be good there. But what would he have at Florida that he don't have at Ole Miss today? They think resources. He may have more money at Florida. Is that something that he needs? You know, he said he didn't come to Auburn because of his daughter.
Yes.
That was the only reason, because of her, because she was already there and she wanted to stay there. His wife had already, you know, they got back together and moved back, and he's changed his lifestyle and everything's good. And I don't know. It'll all come down to how much more somebody could offer him.
Did y'all see the game day clip with Nick Saban and James Franklin going back to James Franklin? Mm-hmm. Y'all did? He didn't think Franklin got a fair deal.
No. I mean, because he's an old school guy.
Right.
I mean, same way I think about it.
I think all coaches,
they watch after each other.
Yes.
They do. And they should. I mean, that's the thing. They're not fans.
I mean, he started going, you know, basically going through the list of reasons, like, you know, all the wins he's had and all the stuff, kind of what y'all were talking about. But I just thought it interesting that he would come out on national TV and say that.
Billy Napier's a good football coach.
Right.
But it wasn't getting done where he's at. I mean, his record wasn't great. Record wasn't great. But I will say this. Coaches are getting paid more money now than they've ever been paid. Players are getting paid money than they have. So if you bring a player in, because people say, well, you can't get on that player. Coach is just a player. He's not a professional. They are now. So if you're getting paid a lot of money and you're not getting a job done, what normally happens? You either get fired or they move you down and they demote you to a lower class in your job. So it's the coach's job.
After they give you $40 million.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So
that'll ease the pain a little bit.
You as a coach, if it's just not getting done in today's game, not 5 years ago, but in today's game, if it's not getting done, no matter how close you are or how far away you're winning a bunch, whatever. I mean, would you be happy with 10-2, get in the playoffs every year, but not win a national championship?
I could live with it.
No, I could too. I mean, because you're giving yourself a shot to get there. And I think that would have a lot. If you're giving yourself a shot to get to the playoffs and we get in there, we don't always win it, but we got a chance to get in there, then I think that should keep your job. But if you're not even close, with the money you're getting paid today, you got to go, brother. I mean, you have to go find something else. You just got to go. Because it means too much to a lot of people, not just a few. Get pays the money. So I guess the question we're asking here is, when do you pull the trigger on firing somebody? Do you always wait to the end of the year?
Do you think the odds are better that Lane Kiffin will land in Florida above the Penn State coach?
Yes.
Better for Kiffin?
Yes. That's what I think. So,
yeah, I think they would go after him first.
Lane Kiffin.
Yes.
He fits Florida quicker than James Franklin.
Yes.
They're just completely two different people. I always liked James Franklin as a person and to listen to him as a coach and just always liked him.
And he's coached in the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, look what he did at Vanderbilt.
Yes. What got him the job at Penn State.
And he set a culture there that's probably still going.
He won 9 games, 2 consecutive years at Vandy.
He's and
without then, Pavia.
And it was time. Yeah. And
then he didn't have Pavia.
Yeah. And then it was time to move on. So I think he was a consistent winner. I'll put it that way. And there's something about being a consistent winner that I think that was the screw up for him. I was thinking, okay, I knew that the beginning of the year got bad, but his it's not a trend. It wasn't a trend. And it wasn't like it happened over and over and over. Oh, year one, year two, year three, year four, year five. I mean, that happens. And usually when that happens, what happens to the coach? They get let go. And it happens in pros. Used to happen all the time. They fire him after 3 games or 4 games or 5 games.
But, you know, if say Joe Paterno was still living, say Joe Paterno right now was 68, 70, 71 years old, and he experienced what James Franklin experienced, they wouldn't have fired him. They wouldn't have come after Joe Paterno like that. They wouldn't have. Not at that time.
No. Do you think that if, for Alabama's standards, they had not won one since 2020, and they'd played in it, but they hadn't won it, would they have got rid of Coach Saban?
No.
No. But he was still. But he was in it. He at least was getting them there, and he was on the cusp of always being close to it. I mean.
But Paterno was an established winner, just like Coach Williams said. He won a lot of games.
That is a surprise. When they got rid of Franklin, then it makes you think, well, the average fan thinks, well, then we ought to start getting rid of this person, that person, that person, because oh, they ain't near what he was, what Franklin. And I'm sure in Franklin, James Franklin pretty much said it in an interview the other day. It surprised me. It surprised his players. Hey, if you got rid of me, then there's a bunch of people around the United States that ought to be gotten rid of. But again, who are you going to hire? Who's going to be better? Do you live with mediocrity? Or do you go out and just say, hey, we got to find better. We got to go out and find it. That's a tough question. Do you live with mediocrity? Who wants to, with the money that's spent on coaches now, you can't be mediocre. You can't be mediocre. You got to be, you just can't. I think Dave said that before.
It's like they're looking for the Holy Grail, right?
Yes.
And you can't find it lots of times. Huh. Occasionally, you're going to have all the pieces fall in place. The breaks you're going to need in big games are going to fall your way. And in the end, you will win a national title. You have to have a little luck along the way. But sometimes things are going to happen to prevent you from getting there.
And sometimes once you've gotten there, it's easier to get there the next time. You figured out what it takes. And sometimes it takes a lot of lucky breaks. Most time every year you got to have lucky breaks.
You do, somewhere down the line.
Think back of the years that you won state championships in football or basketball, Coach Williams. Can you think of those? At any time did you get a break?
Jesse Wood.
We got
against Hazelwood. I mean, that game is lost in the state championship.
Looking back, some of the biggest.
He doesn't make that tackle.
Some of the biggest breaks we had was we didn't have many injuries where we lost key players.
Yes.
And, a lot of times you lose the right player and it affects everything, not just offense and defense, but chemistry, your mental approach, it affects everything.
Here's the one thing, we always talk about players making plays. When the time comes for a player to make a play, he makes that play. And I know a lot of people put a lot of, that player made that play. But you know what? A good coach coaches that kid to make that play too. I mean, he had to have a little bit of coaching done. Somebody had to work with that guy and develop him to make that play. You don't always make every one of them, don't make every catch. But usually if he's a well-coached kid, if he's a well-disciplined kid, then he makes those plays more often than not. And you knew a kid from Clay County back in the day was going to make those plays more often than not because they were highly disciplined. They were made to act right. They did all the little things right. And that still evolves in football today, too. Those kids that are made to act right usually come through for you in the end, most of the time.
The little things add up to big things.
They come through in the clutch.
Even more now than ever. Here's how I get an idea. I watch a lot of football, and most everybody has a walk of something, don't they? They got the
Tiger Walk.
Tiger Walk. I don't know what Alabama's
Ball
called.
Walk.
Some kind of everybody's got a walk.
Yeah.
What I like to look at is when I watch those players coming into a stadium, how they're dressed, how they perceive themselves, how they act. Most of them have got their little headsets on, and they're listening to something, so they're not really they're walking through there, and they may throw a thumb up or whatever. But I can't stand to see a group dressed like a bunch of who knows what. And they're high-fiving everybody they see. I just don't personally think you're locked in when that happens.
Sure.
And I watch a lot of them. I say, golly, how can that group get away with the way they're dressed? Which would be this thing. I know it's something little, but it's something that I actually watch and look at because to me that's a little thing that adds up to a big thing.
We're going to head into our first break right here in the 9 o'clock hour. The Hill Auto Sales Hour of the 3-Point Stance. You're listening to Classic Country 90.9.
0-0 and is proud to sponsor the Clay Central Sports Network.
Coach Aaron and friends are also my friends on Classic Country 90.9.
One big team, all in a three-point stance. Classic Country 90.9.
The Edgar Winter Group, they're the featured artists today on 3-Point Stance with Round and Round. From their classic LP, They Only Come Out at Night. Sounds like a Halloween album. It's Edgar Winter today. 3-Point Stance. It is. Yeah, on a Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're talking about all these witches and ghosts and all coming out on Halloween. Where are they the rest of the year?
Good point, Coach. I mean,
I think they're out there. They're just hidden. They're not wearing their costume. They just don't wear their costumes at certain times.
Do y'all have a lot of Halloween trick-or-treaters back in the day?
Not like we used
not
to.
Not like it used to.
Since they started
trunk-or-treat.
The trunk-or-treat here in town.
Yeah. They still plenty at my place.
This hour of the 3-Point Stance is brought to you by First Capital Insurance, located on College Street in Lionville. First Capital works with many different insurance companies to find the coverage that fits your needs. Their phone number is 256-396-2131. Jody Rice and the folks at First Capital Insurance are bringing you this hour of the 3-Point Stance on Classic Country 90.9.
I have plenty of days to come to my house.
Have you bought your candy bars yet?
This weekend. I've been waiting to the last second, just waiting to, for a payday.
How many will you buy?
How many?
Yeah.
Whole candy bars?
Yes.
Last year I had 280. I'm going to probably buy 300 candy bars this time.
Whoa.
But I'm also going to buy a couple of bags of the small ones because I'll be working at night, so my son will be left at home.
Yeah.
He'll give it out, and he knows that if someone is a repeat or if an adult comes up to try to get a whole candy bar, he just gets them the small little
the bite size.
The minis, yeah. The bite size, gives it to them. And they go, I thought this is a house with a whole candy bar.
So you've got a reputation now.
You know, it's been a tradition that you bring us some candy bars.
Yeah, Coach.
I will. I mean, we'll get there. I mean, it won't be candy corn. You know, I do mix up a thing with candy corn and nuts and M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I saw something else this weekend. Y'all were talking one day about M&Ms or peanut M&Ms.
Yeah.
And I mentioned peanut butter M&Ms. Right. And people said, peanut butter M&Ms? Y'all have seen the peanut butter M&Ms?
Yeah.
We had some.
I saw that on the show. Somebody brought some because you had them in here because I saw the package.
Somebody brought some to Talladega when we was over there.
Those were peanut butter and jelly, wasn't it?
Okay, now they have peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw that.
Had some Friday, didn't we?
That's right. Yes, no, y'all had them Friday.
Yeah, at Talladega.
That's right.
At Talladega, you had some.
Yeah.
I heard
that's where it was.
That's where it was.
Yeah, I knew it. For sure. Peanut butter and jelly, and then one other kind. Was that the crispy rice kind or something?
Rice crispy?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have, there's so many that you have. The new one for this year is peanut butter and jelly. And then you got the Oreo cookie and the Oreo Reese's.
Yeah.
Somebody sent some of those to the show the other night on the show, so I went ahead and threw out there and thanked them for sending them to us. But my granddaughter took the Oreo Reese's. You know how you'll take a Oreo and take it apart and chew
the cream?
The cream out.
Mm-hmm.
She licked the peanut butter off of it and then held it. And I, for some reason, went and got some peanut butter because I used to like to put peanut butter on regular Oreos. What's it? Butter. So she licks the peanut butter out of it and then wants me to put more peanut butter inside of it and squeeze it together so she can eat it like a cracker. So
she's got her own way of doing things.
She does. There's nothing wrong with that. She sure does.
That's good.
So, Coach Wayne, we hadn't done any baseball here. What? So the baseball, the World Series is set?
It's set. Starts Friday.
Who's going to be in it?
Well, it's going to be the Blue Jays from the American League and the Dodgers from the National League.
If you had to bank on it, Man, if you had to bet, who would you say? I mean, I know you.
Who's the favorite?
Who's the favorite in how many games? Because everybody always says M5 or M7.
I would think the Dodgers would win, and I can't see the Blue Jays winning more than a game.
Okay.
Their pitching is not on the same level as the Dodgers.
So you think five games?
Yeah.
Who would be, if you had a pick, because when you start talking about betting, there's a bet for everything. So it is. Do you think that Shohei Ohtani will hit a home run in the World Series?
Oh, there's no question.
Or then how many?
Probably in the first game. Well, when you look at the last game he played, he hit three.
And pitched.
And was pitching.
With 10 strikeouts. And was pitching. Does he? Will he be, when his career is over, will he be considered one of the top five best baseball players ever?
I'm thinking so, unless
an accident, something happens, an injury or something.
Yeah, he'll be up at the top of the list.
So when he's not pitching, where does he play?
He's been DH'ing this year.
Can he ever play anywhere else besides pitching?
He could probably play first base or outfield.
The outfield. Because he's athletic enough to do either one.
Didn't the Blue Jays back in the 90s break the Braves?
He won't play first base as long as Freeman is there.
Yeah.
And, you know, with him being a pitcher, I mean, he fits in perfectly as a DH.
In the World Series, is a DH every game?
Does the what?
Does the DH come and play every game?
Every game.
It's only when they're at home, isn't it?
It used to be when they're at home.
Both leagues have the DH now.
You remember back in the day.
That's when the National League didn't have the DH.
Well, I was leading to that. I knew it, but I wanted you to say it because I knew some people would still think, well, one of them don't, because it used to be that way.
Yeah. The American League was the first league that had it. Mm-hmm. The National League went years without it.
Yeah.
And now both leagues have the DH. So, yeah, he'll be able to DH in every game.
And who is considered the home team?
Well, the Blue Jays will be – they'll have home field advantage because they had the better overall record. And so the series opens up in Toronto for the first two. The middle three games would go to L.A., and then the other six and seven, if necessary, would be back at Toronto.
You don't think it'll get that far?
Well, I don't think it will, but, I mean, I'm no expert on it.
Yeah.
It all depends on how the gamblers want it to go.
You'd be surprised.
Sounds like college football.
Exactly.
But it starts.
NFL.
It starts NBA. Friday night, and we'll miss game one. You know, we'll all be tied up with high school football. But Friday night at 7 o'clock Central Time on Fox. This year the World Series is on Fox TV. So that's when it starts. They'll play Friday and Saturday. They'll skip Sunday, and then next week on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they'll be in L.A.
I can remember. Can you remember back in their days of high school football? And here's the past several years when I've been doing, you know, on sidelines and watching games. And when the playoffs start, if it's somebody local, when I say local, everybody's favorite, like a Braves or something like that, you can hear them people in the stands getting a report. You almost hear everybody talk, what's the score? An official would come down through there, hey, what's the score? What's the baseball score? Or I will not forget, I think, did Auburn, was that Thursday night against Baylor? Was it a Friday?
It was Friday this year, yeah.
It was Friday. And I was at a certain game, and a certain referee from down here in Ashland, played here at Central Clay. He said, Coach, what's the Auburn score? What's the Auburn score? Because I was there. And it was Rusty Taylor's son.
Okay.
And it was Dawson. And he would come down through there and he said, Coach, you got to score? Because I think I was at Jacksonville and at one of their games, and he was calling that game. And he'd come down through there and I'd give him the score. I knew it. I knew that's what we'd do. I knew it. And then we'd come back. I said, they're okay now. They're ahead. Yeah, that's what I thought. So it's amazing. It'd be the same way for baseball.
Yeah.
So once the baseball World Series start Friday night, somebody will come by and say, Coach, have you got a baseball score yet? Well, here, let me go on ESPN and I'll get you a score.
There won't be as much interest in it locally as there would be if Atlanta was in it. You know, if the Braves were in it, it would be a lot of interest.
I've got a question here for Dave and Coach.
All right.
All right. And this is from a faithful listener.
Yes.
Simon Slim.
Okay.
Ask Coach and Dave what they think. I hope I'm because I have no idea what this means. So I hope this is not bad. Ask Coach and Dave what they think of Connor Lou being out and us having a 17-year-old center now. Where are we? What are we talking
about? Well, from what I Auburn understand, center. We're talking about Auburn starting center. Connor Lou.
He had a torn ACL.
ACL injury.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He's out.
He's out.
So Cale Ellis stepped in Saturday night and played the second half, basically, and did a pretty good job. I think maybe had one busted assignment on a pass blocking situation.
That's not bad for a freshman.
The coaching staff is, he came out of high school early. He's 17 years old.
He
was one of those guys that reclassified.
Reclassified, yes.
But they're high on him. They say that he has a high football IQ. His size, his physical strength, he doesn't look like a 17-year-old freshman.
Yeah.
And I think we'll be okay there.
Alabama has one like it.
If I'm not mistaken, Lou, the guy who he's playing behind, did the same thing. He classified and came to Auburn real early, but he's just been
Connor
the starter.
Lou, yeah,
he's just been the starter a couple years now, I think.
Where's the guy took his place? Where's he from?
He's from somewhere in Georgia.
He's probably
not sure of the town.
Most of the kids that play as freshmen, you can just about bet when you look at them, they come from a large school that played like they trained and played like they were already in college. They run college schemes. Alabama's got an offensive lineman. A true freshman has taken over now the past four games. He starts as a true freshman, but he come from one of those where he was a high school All-American. He was already, like you said, he may be 17 years old, but he looks like he's 25 years old. Mm-hmm. So those guys are different. So, Simon, you've got the answer right from Coach Wayne.
Yeah.
He's Cartersville, Georgia is where he's from.
Okay. That's just
– big-time football.
It is big-time football. Exactly right. Just like the kids from Gainesville. That's the first thing I look at when they see where a kid's from. I go look at his high school, where he's from.
6'4", 285. He'll do okay.
17.
And he's at 285. You can live with a 285 at center because he can be protected, especially if he can move. So that's you can't beat that.
And in high school at Cartersville, he also played basketball. So that tells you what kind of athlete he is.
Yes, what kind of athlete. And he can move his feet. Because what do you got to do to pass block? Got to move your feet. And you got to be good at it. Can when you start talking about football, can you be a great pass blocker and a great run blocker at the same time?
I don't see why you can't.
I don't either. I think some of them are better at pass blocking, and they're not as good at run blocking. But still, if you're physical and can move your feet, that's the same things they got to do. Yeah. You're just one's going backwards and one going forward.
I mean, that's the position. You got to be able to do both.
Do you if you were a head football coach today? Jerry Williams, head football coach. What is the first hire that you make once you've been hired?
First hire, and I consider this the most important position on the team, other than quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, that's absolutely the most important position
today.
But I think the next most important position is defensive line. So I would hire a good defensive line coach.
I'm with you.
And I would hire a defensive coordinator before I would hire an offensive coordinator.
Yes.
And I might end up like Hugh Freeze is now.
I'd go D-line, and then I go O-line.
Yeah.
And then I work from the skill positions from there.
I agree with you. I would, D-line, then O-line.
When people ask me, I'm going to transfer back to high school. When people ask me the difference in South Alabama, and y'all have done it here being at Central Clay, you've been in the North before, and you've been in the South before. The differences you see is not always the athletes, but it's the athletic defensive linemen.
That's right.
When y'all were playing in the South, you see more athletic defensive linemen.
Absolutely.
You can match skill players most of the time.
You see better overall athletes, not just linemen.
Every week.
Yeah.
But when you look, the first place I look is those athletic defensive linemen. When you played Catholic, athletic defensive linemen. Were they all transferred? I shouldn't say that. When you played Ben Russell, what'd you see? Athletic defensive linemen. And they make a difference. Mm-hmm. And, Lord, in college, you got to have them. I mean, you think about those people that are athletic defensive linemen. That's always interesting to me. I may have another question here, guys.
They were juiced, no pun intended.
Okay. Now, I got that.
Most so they eat breakfast every morning.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
They eat a biscuit and a cinnamon roll every morning.
And some juice.
Some good orange juice.
I didn't say what kind. They juice in the morning.
I had to get that in there.
You're right. So, you know, if you have that offense, you know, center, okay, you hire an offensive line coach. Do you want your head coach to be the play caller? And the reason I didn't think that because of Hugh Freeze. I think that because of Steve Sarkisian. And he said yesterday, I was hired here as a head coach because of what I did as an offensive coordinator wherever he was at. He said, so that's why I think I'm still going to call plays. I have a co-defense offense coordinator. That's just so that guy gets more money. He said, but I'm going to call my plays because that's why I was hired to be here to do that. Do you think a head coach should call his own plays?
Well, I think you can do it. I mean, if you look at Andy Reid.
Yes.
He has a sheet. He's calling plays mm-hmm. at the highest level of football.
He does. I mean, to me, it's if you're going to do it, you better be extremely and highly organized for everybody else around you to be doing what they're doing because you can't be trying to be a game manager. When I was a head coach, my first three years, I said, well, I'm still, because I was always a defense coordinator, I said, well, I'm going to keep my – I just couldn't let go of it.
You look at it this way. If the head coach is calling the play, that's freeing up his other people on his offensive staff mm-hmm. to focus in on their job
yeah.
and not the play calling.
Yeah.
So you it can be – it's a two-way thing here. You know, some people say – the head coach can't do it. He needs to let somebody else. But if the head coach is doing it, that's freeing up that other person to do his job better.
Yeah, because, for example.
The key is whether or not those plays that are being called are working.
Yeah. Boy, they're not working where they work for so-and-so because, you know, plays are plays. A counter is a counter.
That's right.
You know, and a power is a power. I mean, it's who's teaching those guys how to do that to me. And when Nick Saban was always successful, he always had great D-line coaches and great O-line coaches. And his O-line coaches normally were guys that had a lot of NFL experience because a lot of it was NFL concepts, and those kids wanted to know they were being coached by somebody that was going to get them to the next level. That's why he did it.
And they were five stars.
Yeah, a few fours, but most of them were fives. Yeah, five most pluses.
Of them. Most of them.
The backups and the backups were, too.
I know.
We got to be getting close to a break here, don't we?
Yeah, we are.
Hit it!
All right. We'll step away for a moment from this First Capital Insurance Hour of the 3-Point Stance.
Nailed it.
That's a country 90.9. We'll be right back.
Supply, Atkinson Homes, and AGL Solid Waste Disposal Authority.
Hey folks, Bill Bubba Bussey here, and this ain't your average morning show. We're talking life, laughs, and a little bit of ball with Coach in the Game. It's Classic Country Mornings on Classic Country 90.9.
Classic Country 90.9.
We play favorites, and we are a favorite. In their own words, what's everyone's favorite radio station?
Classic Country 90.9.
Classic Country 90.9.
Classic Country 90.9.
Classic Country 90.9.
All your favorite stories, news, interviews, and laughs are all right here. This is 3-Point Stance on Classic Country 90.9.
Summer, autumn, my love's gone with another. I can't demand anything of myself now, so I guess I'll stay here in New England for autumn.
closing out today's Artist of the Day segment with the Edgar Winter Group. We've been featuring their wonderful music here on Three Point Stance. This is Autumn, a beautiful ballad from Edgar Winter from his They Only Come Out at Night LP. Beautiful song. And fitting. Hope you're having a great autumn. Thanks for joining us on Three Point Stance this morning.
Name and Mike. This hour of the Three Point Stand is brought to you by First Capital Insurance, located on College Street in Lionville. First Capital works with many different insurance companies to find the coverage that fits your needs. Their phone number is 256-396-2131. Jody Rice and the folks at First Capital Insurance bringing you this hour of the Three Point Stance on Classic Country 90.9. We're going to head over. We're going to have some short takes.
It's that time. It's Tuesday. It's got to be some short take.
Short take. That's it. That's good.
Coach, what you got for us on short takes today?
And I've got that album.
Yes, you do have that. You're right.
Compliments
of Simon Slim. Sure did.
Well, today I want to go over, and I was looking the other day, and I've done this before, but America's top 10 fastest growing sports since 2020. It's been five years. And, you know, a lot of the world shut down in 2020. Nobody did anything. But a lot of these sports, people had to do something. So they got outside and started a lot of recreational sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really not talking about football and baseball here. But we're talking about the 10 fastest growing sports in America for the everyday person. Coming in at number one at 171.1% increase from 2021 to 2025 is pickleball.
Mm.
And I mean, you know, like in Heflin, the tennis courts got turned into pickleball courts now.
Right.
They come in, resurfaced it, repainted them, and did everything. Now the school's getting an advantage of that because now they got a great place to play pickleball. But the community gets to also use these courts. It's easy to learn. It's accessible to all ages. It's a paddle sport. It actually has a paddle that combines elements of tennis, badminton, and table tennis on a court with a net and solid paddle, and it's a very low cost. Just remember one key rule is it has to bounce one time on each side. That keeps people from coming up and just slamming it, or, you know, what you would call it.
Is it basically, I've not played much pickleball, but is it basically you just move up to the fault line in tennis?
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what you do,
from
right?
The distance, yeah.
From the back where you from would serve. Back.
Yes.
Where you would serve from is the now where you're
line.
Serving
the
from.
The midline.
The midline or okay. The fault line.
Yeah. The midline where you have to hit it in the box on tennis.
Right.
You're one side or the other.
You have the box. That's not where you serve from. There's another line that's back 10
a little
feet,
bit.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. But those are the
Do you have to bounce
sports.
It over like ping pong?
It has to hit one time.
On your side or theirs?
No. You hit it and then once it gets over there.
You know,
it has to hit one time. They can't come up and hit it at the net.
Right.
Because they got to let it bounce one time.
Well, you know,
they can hit it.
In ping pong, when you serve, you bounce it over.
Off the ground. You hit it off the ground, then you serve it.
Right.
We actually hit down, it hits your side, then goes over.
Okay. So you do have to hit
it. But not in a pickleball. Pickleball.
Okay.
Nope.
I know there has been a craze about it. People love it.
Oh, yes.
It's age friendly.
It is.
You can play it when you're very young, and older people can play it. Senior citizens can play it.
And I go in different communities where, like, for example, over at Hillcrest Baptist Church over there, like you're going to Alexandria, the big church, I parked in back one time. They were having an event, and I went to it, and I looked down the bottom where it used to be like six tennis courts. Oh, God, there's probably 12 pickleball courts down there, and they were full.
It's people. Very popular.
It's a very popular sport. A lot of people are getting into it. So, yes, it's...
Are you in it yet, David?
I'm not. I'd love to play, though. I've never played it. I've watched it lots of times.
Yeah.
But,
Well, yeah. I mean, you mentioned it's for senior citizens.
I know I did. Yes, Coach. Yes, I did.
I guess that's what he's saying.
Yeah, and I need to get out there, trust me.
Got to get out there. Got to get out there.
You got to get out there. I've got to get out there. You're right. I do. But I'd love to. A lot of times you see a young person playing with like a senior citizen.
Well, they have tournaments now.
They do?
They have pickleball tournaments. They have them over in Oxford quite often, and they raise money off of it.
And there's even a professional circuit for them. So yes, there's people making money, professional players of pickleball.
And they've got age limit. They've got different age categories, like, you know, 30-year-old, 40, 50, over 60. They've even got an over 70 group that can compete.
You can play when you're old now.
Yes.
Did I see where down here at the Ashland Park, they'd made a couple of courts?
They've converted
pickleball.
A couple of the courts.
Compatible.
Yes, they did.
Do they have some tennis still left over?
They do. They have two tennis courts, I think, maybe three.
Yeah.
But one of them is a pickleball court.
They should add pickleball to the Watermelon Festival.
Well, they could.
That'd be great.
They could.
They could have an event. Yellow-mated pickleball contest.
Yeah.
And use yellow balls.
Yes.
Because you can have balls that all kinds of colors with the pickleball.
The winner gets a pickled watermelon.
A pickled watermelon.
A pickled watermelon.
That sounds yummy.
Number two in America's top fastest growing sports, and it continues to rise at 130%, especially at the youth level, Major League Soccer, MLS, as a league has grown 130% since 2020. Soccer has continued on the rise. Number three. This was interesting here. It's more on the girls' side, flag football.
That's the one that I thought of when you mentioned the fastest-growing sports.
It's right there close.
You know the AHSAA is even involved
exactly
in it now.
Right. Exactly right. Now, they also have, and if you think of it, they have the NFL flag football with men. They have men, too. And they're wanting to combine them to play in the, not the Super Bowl, what is it? The
Pro Bowl.
The Pro Bowl, and they want to bring these guys in and play flag football with them. They're saying, no, because they're going to start in the Olympics. They're going to start a flag football in the Olympics.
Okay.
So they want the professional football players to be able to play in it. But this NFL flag football league says they should be in it first because that's what they do for a living. They're NFL flag football players. So it's expanded to over 500,000 per 50 states. 30 states, as Coach Wayne said, 30 states now are offering flag football at the high school level, and the AHSA is one of them. And we also have it to where it will be on Wednesday when the Super 7 has the 7A state championship game. The first two games of that day will be the AHSA girls flag football.
And those are mostly bigger schools, right?
Yeah, there's some smaller ones. Anniston.
Do they have to compete against those big schools?
Yeah, they compete against
everybody.
Yeah. Moody has a real good one. There's a lot of 5A schools have it, especially in the north.
Right.
Moody, you know, Boaz, Alvin, all those people, they have girls flag football. It's becoming very large.
No, I'm, yeah.
Oxford, most every school in Calhoun County. And now next year it will be easier because every Calhoun County school is going to have turf. Baseball, softball, and football.
Mm-hmm.
Alexandria's right now, their whole infield's dug up and gone. I saw it the other night. It's that deep. Yes, because they're all going to be turf. You're gonna have no turf infield. They'll all be turf infields. With the lines, they'll never have to draw another line. The only thing that'll be natural will be the grass in the outfield. I don't know why they didn't do the whole thing, but I've seen places where the grass was that way in the outfield, but not the infield. And all football fields will be turf in Calhoun County next year. So it'll be easier for the girls to play flag football.
Yeah.
They'll just have to put they'll put cones for lines down the side. Number four, and this was 110% rise since 2000. It's in a big rise in every state around the state of Alabama is growing exponentially in lacrosse. And it's a very fast-growing sport. It's big in Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, and Tennessee. And Georgia's coming closer. It's already in Carrollton, and they're turning football fields into lacrosse fields at a certain time of the year. So lacrosse is growing fast. And lacrosse is a lot more physical sport than you think it is.
Oh, it is.
I mean, when you swing one of those sticks, sorry if you're in the way, you get hit with it. So it's a very it's become a very physical sport, like rugby was. And then here's Days. Making a resurgence. Tennis, number five. Men's and women's. It's a resurgence of a once very popular sport. Young Americans like Coco Gauff, who has a U.S. Open title. She has a very good brand. Taylor Fritz, Ben Shelton, Alex Mickelson. All, and those are the males. Taylor Fritz, Ben Shelton, and Alex Mickelson. A lot of those are the future of tennis, and I think tennis, well, it's not no think, tennis is almost a 102% rise in popularity since 2020. Does that kind of seem right, David?
I think it's right. Rise? You know, you had, of course, the big three, Djokovic, Federer, and Nadal, you know, who are all winning Grand Slams, you know.
Yes.
It, by the handfuls, and that brought a lot of attention to the sport, which that's what leads to popularity.
Yes.
When you have a lot of attention from its players.
When people can, a lot of attention from the players, and when people see it on TV, and they start to see it. And we see that a lot. Some of these sports I'm fixing to mention, if you ever watch extreme sports, that's where they started, and now they're becoming not so extreme, I guess you'd say. Number six, Alpine Touring. Alpine Touring is 150% growth this past year. Adrenaline rush seekers. That'd be you, Bone. You could might do this. Alpine touring is skiing in the Alps.
Yeah.
Backwoods skiing. Not so necessarily.
That'd be fun.
I mean, Alpine skiing. Conquering the backcountry mountains is a thrill to a lot of these people because there are no rules. There are no expectations.
There are no rules.
None whatsoever.
You can ski right off a cliff.
Exactly right. Whee! And probably Alpine touring, there's a lot of deaths because these people don't. There are places where you're not supposed to be, and they ski there. So it's becoming a very popular sport. Number seven, this is, think of this, winter fat biking. Winter fat biking, and you would think a 70% rise. I got you. Tackling trails with fat tires, the big tires.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's a popular bike.
Fat, wide, low-pressure tires help bikers navigate soft terrain like snow. Also, snowboard touring, 69%. Recreational kayaking is number nine. And number 10 is trail running along with glamping.
Glamping, yeah. High-end camping. That's
I thought
what I
we'd get
it.
Through this episode without glamping.
Yeah.
We didn't quite make
we
it.
We didn't quite make it. An example of that is the Penhody 100, and we've talked to some guys from here that actually do that, that kind of
absolutely.
Running.
It's good stuff.
Coach?
Time for wisdom. We need a little here.
That's a different song right there.
It's a mix. Hold it's what on. We call a mix.
A mix, yeah.
We've got a mix of song.
There we go.
We've been mixed today.
Yeah.
Been a good day.
It has. It
Especially
has.
After this wisdom we're fixing in.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Y'all ready for wisdom?
I'm ready, Coach. Hit it.
You know, most people think of your legacy as what you leave. But it's not. It's how you make people feel while you're here. Because if you think about it, that's really how they're going to remember you.
There's still time, Bob.
Yes, there is.
What you leave them may go away. But what they remember you as will never be left. That's
how you made them feel while you were here.
Memories.
That's how they remember.
There's definitely time.
Memories. Good stuff. Bone, you did it, man.
You had a good day, Bone.
I see the finish line. There it is.
We're there.
We hit the tape.
Yeah. The checkered flag.
Yeah, we did. We did. Thank you all for being so accommodating, and thank the listeners.
Thank you, Bone.
And Coach will be back in here tomorrow, and I think
you'll be back Thursday.
Thursday, yep. I'll be back Thursday. So,
Well, you can come in tomorrow and practice.
Yeah, I can. We'll see if he wants me to do that now. But I think it'll be
5 seconds, Paul.
Yep. Hey.
Better hurry.
What's our buddy Tank say?
Squat low, push hard.
Push hard.
Y'all have a good day.
Bye.
See y'all.